إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praise is for Allah. We praise Him. We seek His aid and His assistance and ask for His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and from the evil of our actions. Whomever Allah guides, no one will be able to mislead him or her. Whomever He leaves astray, nobody can guide him or her. I swear that there is no object or deity worthy of worship except Allah alone without partner, and that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and messenger. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared and die not in a state except Islam. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa ahlul uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Last week, we went through the first 14 verses of Surah Al-Waqi'ah. And Surah Al-Waqi'ah, just to do a quick recap of those 14 verses and what we talked about, it means the inevitable event or the event. You'll see both translation. And it is the 56th chapter of the Qur'an, and it is 96 verses. And it is a Makkan surah. And this surah, the one thing that really touches my heart in particular is the fact that it is a surah of wealth. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever recites this surah on a daily basis, they will not suffer from poverty, right? And they will be free of any want from humanity. And there is a famous story of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, which I mentioned last week, but I'll mention it again because it's such a powerful story, where he's on his deathbed. And Caliph Usman comes and asks him, is there anything you need? Is there anything I can give you? Or, you know, you have a stipend. He didn't collect his stipend for many years from the Baytul Mal, from the money of the Muslims, because he was such a righteous man. He did not want to take any money from the people. And he's dying, and he's poor. And Caliph Usman knows his status, and he knows that he's in a state of poverty, and he has daughters that he's leaving behind. And he encourages him to take the money, or take some gift, or take a donation. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, no, verily I have commanded my daughters to recite Surah Al-Waqi'ah on a daily basis, and this will be sufficient for them. And then he died that night. And that is the tawakkul of the Sahaba. May Allah give us that tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just to quickly go over the verses that we went through last week, because if I don't go over them, it's going to be hard to understand what I'm going to talk about today. The first verse, when the event befalls. Number two, there will be no denying at the moment it befalls. Number three, abasing and exalting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the day of resurrection. When that event befalls, there's going to be no denying that it's befalling. And on that day, according to the Mufassirun, everybody will become a believer. Every atheist, no matter how much of an atheist he is on this earth, no matter how much of an oppressor he is or she is on this earth, on that day they will believe. And on that day, people will be abased, brought down, and they will be exalted, brought up, depending on their deeds in this earth. When the earth is shaken with a shock, and the mountains are ground to powder, then become a scattered dust. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sharing His magnificence, His power with us, that the mountains themselves will be shaken. The earth will be shaken, and the mountains will be ground to powder. And then they will become as scattered dust. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that on that day we'll be of three kinds, the companions of the right hand. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it beautifully, and He says, what of the companions of the right hand? He asks a rhetorical question, because He wants you to think about, who are these people? Are you going to be among them? You know, what are their characteristics? And then verse number 9, and the companions of the left hand, and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a rhetorical question, what of the companions of the left hand? Again, He wants you to think about it. Are you going to be among those left hand people? Who are these left hand people? And then verse number 10, and the foremost are the foremost. And if there's any Arabic word I think that people should know from this surah, it's this word, and that's the sabiqun. These group of people, they're the foremost, they're in the front lines. They're the ones who work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, right? They're the ones who go the extra step, you know, and they're always seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verse number 11, they are the ones brought near. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now, in this surah, describes the sabiqun, the foremost in the faith. And Allah gives the first description, they are the ones brought near. And according to the Mufassirun, after the prophets of Allah, they are the next category of people who will be rewarded in Jannah. That's how close they will be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. In gardens of delight. So they will be in gardens of delight, many among the first and few among the last. And I mentioned a few things about these two last verses, many among the first and a few among the last. And different opinions of the Mufassirun. Some Mufassirun said that the first, many among the first, refers to all of the prophets, 124,000 prophets and 313 messengers that came before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the last is the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other Mufassirun rejected that. They said, no, these sabiqun are all from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they referred to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the best of generations is my generation, and then the generation after me, and then the generation after me. So that's another opinion. And then according to Noman Ali Khan, he said that every generation will have a group of sabiqun. Maybe even every year. Like 2012 will have its sabiqun. 2013 will have its sabiqun. 2014 will have its sabiqun. So there's different opinions about this. In the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, there's a few hadiths regarding these ayat about the sabiqun, them being among the many among the first and a few among the last. And I want to share those hadiths with you. The Prophet ﷺ said, I hope that you will comprise a quarter of the residents of Jannah, of paradise. A third of the residents of Jannah, paradise. Rather, you are half of the residents of Jannah, and you will have a share in the other half. So he's talking about his ummah, that we will have access to half, we'll become the half of the residents of Jannah, out of all of the people who have ever lived and will ever live. A group of my ummah will always remain on the truth and dominant, unharmed by those who fail to support them and those who defy them until the last hour begins, until Allah commands comes while they are like this. So there's a group of people in our ummah, they're always struggling for the deen. And no matter what happens in society, no matter the politics, no matter the pressures from society, they always stay upon this Sirat al-Mustaqim. They're always on the straight path, and they're always working for Islam. So some Mufassirun, and this is from the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, he's associating this hadith with the Sabiqun. This ummah is more honored than any other ummah. The foremost believers of this ummah are more numerous and hold a higher rank than those of other nations due to the status of their religion and prophet. In a mutawatir hadith, the Prophet mentioned that 70,000 of this ummah will enter Jannah without reckoning. In another narration of this hadith, the Prophet added, with each thousand, another 70,000. In yet another narration, he said, with every one of them is another 70,000. May Allah make us among these people. So there's a group of people in our ummah. At the very least, it's going to be 70,000. At the most, it's going to be 70 times 70,000. Which goes into the millions, I believe. And they are going to be allowed to enter Jannah without any reckoning, right? Without waiting in line with all those billions, trillions of people waiting to be reckoned on that day of judgment. They don't have to go through all of that. They go directly into Jannah. This is one of the blessings of this ummah. May Allah make us all among those 70,000. Ameen. So going into the verses, the new verses today of Surah Waqi'ah, we're going to start with verse 15, and this is describing the sabiqun. We're still on the sabiqun, this foremost category of people. Allah said that they shall be upon embroidered couches. You know, when you buy a couch and they sew it together, they sew it with cotton, right? Cotton or polyester. According to Ibn Abbas, the couches of Jannah will be woven with gold, okay? And it will be encrusted with jewels, diamonds, pearls. You know, when you buy a pillow, and sometimes you have like jewels on it. Some houses have that. They have the jewels. They're like plastic, but they're shiny. They look nice. These are going to be real diamonds, real emeralds, real pearls on your pillows and on your sofa. And according to one tafsir, the couch is going to be at a height of 200 feet. And when the believer comes to the couch will lower itself, and the believer will sit on it, and then it will go back up high. And I was thinking about this. I was pondering, you know, what kind of blessing is this? And I was just thinking about the sofas of this dunya, how we have all these features in our couches, right? And when I was thinking about couches, I remembered I myself enjoy going into Best Buy or into the Lazy Boy store
or into IKEA and sitting on the couches. I really do enjoy sitting on them. Or going to Brookstone or Sharper Image and sitting on the massage chairs, right? But then after I look at the price tag, I'm like, I'm not going to buy this. I can't buy this. It's too expensive. And some of these are $1,000, $2,000 couches, right? There's a whole industry, perhaps even multi-billion dollar industry around these couches. There's a whole, you know, there's designers, there's people who think about how to make couches. It's their life goal. How can I make a better couch for humanity, right? And then there's even waves, right? We have the memory foam wave. I remember a few years ago, everybody was going crazy about memory foam and buying a memory foam bed, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a little taste of that Jannah couch in this world. And He's telling us He's going to give us a much more beautiful couch in the hereafter. And then in verse 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they're going to be reclining face to face. These sabiqun, these foremost people in the faith, they're going to be on embroidered couches, reclining face to face. And one of the joys of this world, right, is buying that couch, sticking it in your living room, right, and then inviting people. And some families, probably including mine, we spend hours looking for that couch, picking out the perfect one, debating which color will go with what, and then we stick it in our living room, and then what do? We invite people to our house to, you know, to enjoy, to talk to each other, right? So regarding the tafsir of this verse, reclining face to face, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say it like this? Because there's going to be nobody sitting in an awkward spot. You know when you go to somebody's house and you're stuck on that hard chair, or you're in the corner and nobody can see you, or you're just in an awkward situation, there's going to be no awkward spots in Jannah. Everybody's going to sit facing face to face in the most beautiful manner, in the most beautiful chair, in the most beautiful spot in that room or that place that you're in. Now, how do we apply this to our lives? You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sahaba, they didn't have chairs like we have today, right? They slept on the floor. There's even a narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sleeping on the ground. He gets up and there's marks on his back from the mat that he slept on. And Umar radiallahu anhu is crying. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks him, why do you weep, you know, Umar? And Umar says, you know, all these kings and queens, all these nobles have these beautiful beds. You know, even at that time, the Roman Empire, they had beds, nice beds for the nobles and the rich people. And he said, you sleep on the floor, on the mat. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied so beautifully. He said, you know, aren't you pleased that for them is this world and for us is the akhirah? For us is the next world, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, the people, the believers, the sabiqun, are those who go that extra step. They say, you know what, I'm not going to buy that luxurious couch, maybe. I'm not going to buy that luxurious bed. Instead, I'm going to donate that money to Syria. I'm going to donate that money to the people so that they can build a masjid. I'm going to donate that money so that people can eat around the world. So they sacrifice their luxury in this world, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the luxury of the hereafter, right? So this is one way we can apply it to our life right now. And then in verse 17, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He gives the sabiqun an amazing reward. He said, there will wait upon them immortal youths with bowls and ewers and a cup from a pure spring. So one of the desires of this dunya, at least I had when I was younger, I don't have it as much anymore, is to have servants. Wouldn't it be cool to have servants, right? Usually you see in movies, millionaires or billionaires have servants running around for them, serving them, you know, bringing, you know, making their bed, making their meals, driving them to where they need to go, taking care of all of their dunya things. Even a secretary would be nice to have, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us these immortal youths who never age. And why are they youthful? Why do you think that people want to have youths? Right? Why not an older butler, for example, or older maid, right? Because when you have a youth are very energetic. They are happy to serve you, right? When you go to a banquet and you got those young high school kids running around serving you at the banquet, they're so happy because it's their first job, their first paycheck. They're so excited, right? They move with a sense of purpose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you the best of servants. And he calls them the immortal youths. And how do we apply this to our lives? Again, the sabiqun are the people who served other people in this earth. They sacrificed their life in this earth. They served others. They went hungry so that others can be fed, right? They gave up their luxuries of the world so other people can survive. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the luxury for eternity in the hereafter. In verse 18, which I mentioned, with bowls and ewers and a cup from a pure spring. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes three cups here. He's describing what's called a goblet. And we don't really drink with goblets in America. But if you look at like medieval movies, you'll see a king with this huge cup. He'll hold it with two hands and he'll drink from it. This is a goblet. And then a pitcher is a pitcher that you serve the drink with. If you go to a banquet, they have like these silver, nice, beautiful looking pitchers with a spout, and they serve you the drink. So there's going to be pitchers and there's going to be cups with a handle on it. And then this drink is going to come from a pure spring. And then Allah describes this drink in verse 19. He says, they have neither headache nor madness therefrom. So just to give you the context and understanding of this verse, remember this is a Meccan verse, and the Sahaba, before they became Muslim, and even after they became Muslim, before the prohibition, they drank alcohol. And alcohol is a drink that people have drank throughout humanity. And even today, it is a huge part of the American lifestyle, right? It's a $200 billion industry in America, $1 trillion industry in the world. And there's advertisements, and there's billboards, and there's so much encouragement to drink this substance, this alcohol, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade for us. And He knew when He forbade the Sahaba who grew up drinking this drink, that it's going to be a difficulty for them. So what did He do? He promised them a much more beautiful drink in Jannah. And not only did He promise them a beautiful drink, but He describes it and He says that you will not get any headache or madness therefrom. Ibn Abbas says that the wine of this life has four side effects. It intoxicates, it gives headaches, it induces vomiting, and it causes excessive urine. So Allah mentioned the wine of Jannah free of these characteristics does not change sense of reasoning. How can we apply this to our life? Growing up in America, personally, I've had these experiences, I'll talk about myself, where I was in high school, or I worked in the business world before I went into chaplaincy, and I was offered alcohol multiple times, right, in social settings, and it was awkward to say no, because everybody's drinking it, but I did say no, and when they asked why, I would explain, it's part of my religion, I don't drink alcohol, right? And so we are living a life where we're rejecting the pleasure that everybody else gets to enjoy around us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that pleasure, inshallah, in the hereafter. And that can be applied also to any other drugs or, you know, that are out there that we also reject. Another drug I remember when I was high school that I was offered by my friends was marijuana and weed and cigarettes. And I rejected all of these. And inshallah, Allah will replace all of them with something much better in the hereafter. In verse number 20, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the fruit that they choose, right? And again, you know, living in America, it's like, fruit's not a big deal, right? We go to the grocery store, there's tons of apples and pears and peaches and oranges. We have so many varieties to choose from. But the reality is, this is not how the world was for most of humanity. People didn't have access to a grocery store where they could just pick out whatever they want. And even today, if you go to a lot of the places in the world, people don't have access to whatever fruit that they want, right? So this is a huge bounty to have access to fruit. And the fruit of Jannah is not like the fruit of this world. It's much more beautiful. It tastes so amazing, right? There is no taste. You know, every fruit is magnified in its flavor 100 or 1,000 times more in Jannah. And according to one narration, we're going to eat green dates off of gold plates. And according to one tafsir, you're going to actually be able to pick the fruits off of the trees. And I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of picking fruits off of trees. I experienced this pleasure a few years ago when I went to Turkey. I was at a masjid and I walked out of the masjid and there's cherry trees growing on the property of the masjid, which is just beautiful to see. And we went and we picked the cherries and ate them. It's such an amazing feeling. And also when I lived with the Turkish brothers in Bloomfield, we planted some pear trees and apple trees and peach trees, and we got to see the tree manifest, the miracle of Allah manifest before our eyes. And growing up in America, I didn't get to experience animals or, you know, farm life or even picking fruits. You just went to the grocery store. There's no connection. The connection is cut, right? And you don't get to see that beauty, that miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rain coming down, the sun comes out every day, and the pears and the peaches slowly grow on the tree. We don't get to experience that blessing, right? So in Jannah, we'll get to pick it off a tree. And when we grew those trees at the Turkish house in Bloomfield, you know, watching the peach and the pear grow was amazing. From going like a little small little thing to bigger and bigger and bigger until it was big enough to eat, and then you pick it off and you bite it, and it's just so beautiful, right? But, you know, even those peaches, some of them have defects. Some of them have black marks. Some of them have worms. You have to be careful. But in Jannah, you're not going to have any of those problems. All of the fruits of Jannah will be beautiful for all of us. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. I say this and I seek forgiveness from Allah for me and for you and for the rest of the Muslims. So ask him for forgiveness. He is surely the one who forgives, the most merciful. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalam ala Rasulullah amma ba'd. In verse 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another blessing for the sabiqun, and the flesh of fowls that they desire. Fowl is chicken, it's bird meat, right? And maybe some of you like chicken, some of you don't. I think most people like chicken. I love chicken shawarma sandwiches or chicken ta'uk sandwiches. There's so many varieties of birds that are cooked. Quail is another one that a lot of people like around the world. And so Abu Bakr commented on this verse, and he said to the Messenger of Allah, "O Allah's Messenger, surely these birds must be wonderful." He made this comment. When he heard this verse, he said, "O Allah's Messenger, surely these birds must be wonderful," because Allah mentioned it in the Quran. They have to be wonderful, and it's the reward of the sabiqun. And the Messenger replied, "Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who eat them are more wonderful." And he said it three times. Those who eat them are more wonderful. Those who eat them are more wonderful. The Prophet went on, "And I hope that you will be among those who eat from them." So you'll have the best meat that you want. And now in this verse, Allah says, "And the flesh of fowls." And he could have left it like that. He could have said the flesh of birds. But he said that they desire. So you know how there's a motto for Burger King that they had for a long time. I don't know if you guys remember this motto. You know, have it your way. Burger King had a motto, have it your way. Meaning you can go there and they'll make it the way you want. And if you don't like it, they'll fix it for you. Too much lettuce, they'll take some lettuce off. You know, whatever it is. I personally like my burgers with, you know, lettuce, tomato, ketchup, and onions. That's how I like my burgers, right? And everybody has their preferences. So in Jannah, Allah is saying, "I'm not going to impose a burger upon you. I'm going to let you have the burger or the chicken the way you want it. You want it roasted, you can have it roasted. You want it fried, you can have it fried. You can have it in any way you want it. You know, overcooked, undercooked, medium, rare." So Allah is offering, is telling you that you're going to have it in the way you want it. And then in verse 22, "And there are fair ones with wide, lovely eyes." And this is referring to the hur of Jannah. And the hur, according to some mufassirun, are beautiful spouses. And Allah describes them as having lovely eyes, fair ones with wide, lovely eyes. And again, if you ponder upon this, you know, what does that mean, wide, lovely eyes? And I was just thinking about the cartoons that we watch, right? You see the anime or the cartoons, they make the girls or the women with huge eyes, and they're very enchanting, and the blackness is dark, and the whiteness is very white. And there's almost a reflection in their eyes, right? So eyes have an enchantment of their own. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes that because He created us, He knows us, He knows what we like, and He tells us, "You're going to have beautiful spouses in the hereafter, and they're going to have beautiful eyes." And again, you know, how we can reflect upon our own lives is that we restrained ourselves in this world, and Allah will give us something much better in the hereafter. And Allah describes these beautiful spouses in Ayah 23. He said they're like unto hidden pearls. And if you know anything about a pearl, the pearl comes from the depths of the ocean, the depths of the sea. And they're preserved in hard shells, sometimes they're ugly shells. But when they open the shell, it's a beautiful and pure pearl, fresh and new. And this will be one of the gifts of the righteous woman. One of the innate desires of women, and this is proved by just looking at TV advertisements or going to the grocery store and looking at all the magazines, or even going to the clothing section of a store, you'll see so many varieties of shoes for women. So many varieties of clothing for women, right? The women's section is much more complicated with colors and features and designs, right? Women, by their nature, want to be beautiful. Allah put this in their desire, in their ruh, in part of their soul. So Allah will allow them in Jannah to be among the most beautiful creatures, the righteous women of this earth will be the most beautiful creatures of Jannah. And according to one narration, the woman will be 18 years old and the man will be 33 years old. And the beauty, just to give you an idea of the extent of their beauty, when the husband gets to lay his eyes upon his wife in Jannah, he will stare at her for 40 years. That is the awe that he'll be in of his wife, of the beauty, right? So, you know, how can we relate this to our lives now today? First of all, there's women, unfortunately, who are changing their bodies and committing surgery upon their bodies just to be beautiful, right? And they're violating the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And among them, which is agreed upon by all the ulama, is wearing the hijab and being modest and being righteous. And if you sacrifice and you preserve your body just for your husband, and you preserve your beauty, Allah will give you something eternal beauty, and you'll be the most beautiful of creatures that no creature on this earth can even compare to. And also for the men, you restrained yourselves, right? You lowered your gazes, you didn't look at what is haram, and Allah will give you the most beautiful thing that you can have in Jannah. And this is a recompense for what they used to do. And Allah says in Ayah 24, this is a recompense, a reward for what they used to do. And I love reading this verse because, you know, when you're a believer and you're working towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do look forward to that reward, right? It's just like working at a job, right? When you get your paycheck at the end of 2 weeks, you look forward to that paycheck or that bonus at the end of the year. And the believers, they look forward to the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They seek the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They yearn for the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe it in our hearts. That's why we're working towards it. And Allah verifies that in this ayah. He says, a recompense for what they used to do. And what did they used to do? They used to do good deeds, right? They used to sacrifice. They used to give their money. They used to lower their gazes. They used to, you know, hold their tongues. There's so many things that they did. So many things that we stayed away from and so many things that we did on a daily basis. And Allah will give us the reward. And then quickly, the last two verses that I wanted to go over, they shall hear therein no vain talk nor recrimination, only saying peace, peace. So in this, in the hereafter, all we're going to hear in Jannah is peaceful talk. Right? And again, how can we relate this to our own lives? The people of the Sabiqun are the people who, when the people meet them, they leave with a sense of peace, right? They only speak good words. And when they hear evil, they turn away. They don't even respond to it, right? This is the way of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? And they hold their tongue back. They don't slander people. They don't lie. They don't backbite. They don't cheat. They don't spread fitna on this earth. So in the hereafter, Allah will put them with people who also did not spread fitna in this earth, and they'll just be giving them nice words all the time. You know when you meet people and they just give you nice words, you get a great sense, like a great sense of feeling, your self-esteem goes up, right? And you love to be around people like that. In Jannah, you'll be around people like that all the time. There's going to be no competition in Jannah because there's nothing to compete for. Even the last person to enter Jannah will get the equivalent of 10 worlds. You don't have anything to compete for. You have everything you want in Jannah. My brothers and sisters, if I made any mistakes, they are from me. Please forgive me. And if there's anything good that you see today, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praise Him and seek Him sincerely in everything that you do. Inna Allah wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Surely Allah and His angels bless the Prophet. O you who believe, invoke blessings of Allah on him and pray to Allah to bestow His peace on him, greeting him with the best greeting. Millions of blessings and greetings to you, O Messenger of Allah. Millions of blessings and greetings to you, O Beloved of Allah. Millions of blessings and greetings to you, O Faithful Messenger of Allah's revelation. O Allah, bestow your peace and blessings upon our Master Muhammad, upon his family and companions, as many times as there are leaves on the trees and waves in the oceans and drops in the rains. O Allah, for the sake of every one of those blessings, forgive us, have mercy on us, and grant us divine favor. Favors. O Allah, protect us from the fire. O Allah, protect us from all kinds of trials in our religious and worldly affairs. O Allah, protect us from the trials of this age. O Allah, protect us from the trials of Masih al-Dajjal. O Allah, protect us from going astray, from invention in religion, and from calamities. O Allah, protect us from the evil of deluded ego. O Allah, protect us from the evil of the Pharaoh-like ego. O Allah, protect us from the evil that may come from women and men. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of the grave. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of the judgment day. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of hell. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of being subject to your wrath. O Allah, protect us from the punishment of the grave and the fire. O Allah, protect us from hypocrisy, from showing off in our prayers, from confidence in our good deeds, and from vanity. O Allah, protect us from being wronged by those who go astray. O Allah, protect us from the evil of hypocrites. O Allah, protect us from the menace of the sinners. O Allah, protect and give peace to the Muslims struggling all over the world, the Muslims of Syria, Palestine, Myanmar, Pakistan, India, China, America, Russia, and in every corner where Muslims struggle in your way, please assist and help them. O Allah, protect us, our parents, students serving in the way of the Quran and faith, our friends who are sincere believers, our relatives and our ancestors from the fire. We seek your forgiveness, O you who grants refuge. We seek your favor and blessing, O most forgiving. O Allah, admit us into Jannah along with the truly virtuous. Admit us, our teachers, our parents, all our brothers and sisters, our relatives, our ancestors, and our believing friends who are steadfast in the service of the Quran and faith and who devote themselves unto Allah alone. Admit us all into Jannah with the truly virtuous. Ameen. All praise is due to the sustainer of all the worlds. Aqim as-salah.